It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Thank you for joining me. It's Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. And last week I talked about some of the things that I had encountered when I was in Sitka working on a conservation project and the incredible world of Alaska. Well, from Sitka to New Orleans is where I ended up going. And no, this is not a travelogue, but it just goes to indicate the extensive amount of opportunity there is in the conservation world, and also opportunities to, frankly, enhance conservation and see what other people are doing. So I've spoken recently about things that are occurring in Louisiana with the Louisiana Marsh, and how there are really substantive efforts now to try to save what's left of the marsh, and not only save it, but to reclaim it. I had another chance to have a bird's eye view, if you will, of that. And it was indeed a bird's eye view. And so my comment, which I'll talk more about in the coming weeks, is there are so many positive things happening in the coastal Louisiana marsh area with so many different entities working on this, that it strikes me that something really important will get done. And we all read about the massive multi-billion-dollar government programs, the Corps of Engineers and their huge efforts to do things on a monumental scale to reverse what's 80 years of degradation of one of the world's most important wetland ecosystem, and of course trying to harness the Mississippi River. And as we learn repeatedly, we're not going to harness the Mississippi River. And a little over a year from now will be the 100th anniversary of the worst flood in American history, the 1927 Mississippi River flood, which wiped out the lower part of the Mississippi River in many cases, and the inhabitants in those regions, and led to one of the great migrations of people northward as a result of that. But what I wanted to just comment on this morning is the number of private sector efforts that are underway. And we do read about and hear about the big government programs, as I mentioned a moment ago, but there are lots of private sector individuals doing things that are not on scale of a massive government program, but when taken together, really do make a difference. And I saw some of these again firsthand. So whether it's in Louisiana or right here in our backyard in Illinois, local efforts often produced outsized results. And I think we tend to forget that in the world of conservation when we look at massive programs and hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. There are local people and local organizations, which of course are driven by people, doing really wonderful things. And Illinois has an extremely strong conservation heritage, particularly in the open lands movement, open space movement around northeastern Illinois, where there's been such a need to maintain open space. And I could go on for, frankly, a lot longer than you all would probably like to listen to about the groups in northeastern Illinois that really do make a heck of a difference. But I think of groups like the Conservation Foundation out in Naperville. I think of open lands in Chicago. I think of open lands in Lake Forest. I think of what's happened with Prairie Crossing and the whole effort in Lake County to create this incredible trail network. And many of you listening this morning certainly are the beneficiaries of the biking and hiking trails network in DuPage, Kane, even Cook County, but also Lake County was really at the lead in all this. So small efforts by private sector individuals go a long way, which leads me to a program led by, well, not a small effort, but a private company or a company, McDonald's. McDonald's has done something that could be trend-setting, McDonald's being obviously the largest consumer of beef in the world. They buy more beef than anybody else. We all know why. So they have started a $200 million regenerative ranching push. This has never been done before, but McDonald's has partnered with other companies and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to begin a process to have regenerative grazing practices practiced across the spectrum of the American West and the Midwest and South where McDonald's buys beef. And the part of this that's really interesting is they are going to put money up, private sector money being matched by foundations and being matched by the government to help farmers and ranchers do better rotational grazing, have better soil quality, better grasslands, which ultimately means the result will be better beef for McDonald's. But really, the end result is a healthier environment. And one of the things that has been missing in the, if you will, in the food chain is the ability to help farmers and ranchers implement modern technologies, whether it be rotational grazing, whether it's the placing of microchips in the ears of cattle, so we don't need fences, and they're guided by the microchips. If they go to an area where they're not supposed to be, they basically like electric collar with dogs. They get a little bit of an electric shock and they back off. So McDonald's is saying, we in the private sector, the largest acquirer of beef products, we can lead the way in helping to change the way agriculture works. And I think it's just kind of a cool thing. I'm not in any way shilling or pitching McDonald's. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just talking about how they're leading this effort, and they brought in many of the biggest companies in the agricultural sector, Cargill and others, to help them. But they're using technology to try to help make our soils better and to make grazing practices better. And there's something we'll hear a lot more about in the coming years. It's coming quickly. It is possible that barbed wire fences and fences almost of any kind are going to go away. Think about that. Think about returning a landscape. Of course, Illinois, we have very few fences anymore because they've all been torn out for farming because we don't need them because we don't have many cattle. But get out of Illinois and head west or head south, and you see lots of fences. And that's to keep cattle and horses in pastures or into large grazing units. Technology is going to enable those fences to come out. And that's because all animals are going to be able to be microchipped with a chip that, as I mentioned a moment ago, basically is a directional chip. It directs them where to graze and where not to graze. So while it's very expensive today to do this, the costs will come down, and overall, the results for our environment will be spectacular. Imagine getting rid of all of these fences that exist all over America. It's not going to happen overnight. It probably won't happen for decades. But over time, I think you can say, you heard it here on the Great Outdoor Show, it is going to happen. We are going to move away from fences to using electronics in how we manage cattle and also horses to some extent. Although certainly beautiful wooden horse pasture fences, such as you see out in Barrington and other areas, and you go down to Kentucky and the bluegrass country and all of that, that's pretty spectacular to look at them. They are beautiful, but they're not natural. And so if we can, and particularly in the American West, where so many antelope and elk and other animals and sage grouse encounter fences that are not good for them and cause all kinds of either fatalities or serious injuries to them, if they can come out over time, that would be a huge win. And that's part of what this program is about bringing modern technology to regenerative agriculture, which not only will improve the quality of our soils and grazing, but also improve how we do it. So that's pretty, I think that's pretty, pretty revolutionary. And as we move into the fall and we think about these things on how we are going to move cattle from one wintering range to summer range, et cetera, in many parts of the West, this isn't going to happen overnight, but it is coming. Before I go to a break, I want to move down to Florida for a second and talk about something that is occurring, which is really, it's unfortunate. And that is Florida's Game and Fish Department passed a measure to permit bear hunting in Florida. The bear population in Florida has absolutely skyrocketed. And now, unfortunately, as seems to happen, the environmental organizations that don't believe we should hunt or do anything like that are suing to stop the bear hunt, which has been legally put together and is definitely warranted by science and has passed all of the regulations needed to launch. But out of nowhere, of course, here come environmental groups that really never do anything for habitat. They exist to sue. And I've said this, and I'm not being cynical about it. I've said it many times. Often, they just exist to raise money from people so that they themselves can exist. And I think that that's a statement that has a lot of validity. Start looking at the records of some of these fairly radical environmental groups, and you're hard pressed to find what they actually do instead of just raising money to file suits so that they can stay in business. So I think this is another case of that happening in Florida. We'll see what happens, but the Safari Club International has joined with the state of Florida to defend the Florida Wildlife and Fish Commission's right to hold a black bear hunt in Florida. It's scientifically justified, and it is now being challenged in courts, and hopefully it does not succeed. When I come back, which will be in just a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happened to elk hunters in a couple of places and their encounter with bears, Colorado's efforts to bring more wolves back, and a couple more things if I have time on the Great Outdoors Show. I thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. And first, our message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me. Over the past couple of years, I've been talking increasingly about how hunters are getting mauled by bears, and how hunters in Montana will no longer go to clean a bear on their own. They always bring somebody else with them. And it's hard to imagine this, but it's really happened. Bears have begun to associate the sound of rifle shots with hunters, and a dead deer or elk, or maybe even antelope, but mostly it's elk. And they have learned that when they hear that rifle shot, they key in and they go towards the carcass. And often they find hunters there. Well, it's now gone to another level. Bears are being attracted by the call of hunters trying to call in elk. And so now you have a situation which is not unheard of, and it just happened again. An elk hunter in British Columbia is in stable but critical condition after surviving a bear attack in the remote woods of the mountains of British Columbia. He was calling in an elk, and as he was calling in the elk, a grizzly bear was attracted. A sow with cubs came towards him. We don't know the official, the details of the attack yet due to the condition of the individual and his serious injuries, but the sow grizzly came to the call, found him, and then attacked this hunter, who was able to get one shot off as the grizzly bear charged him. But think about that. And it happens with turkey hunters and mountain lions. You're leaning up against a tree and you're sitting up against a tree, turkey hunting, and you're yelping for a tom turkey, and a mountain lion drops out of the tree above you or attacks you from behind. These are isolated instances, but they are increasingly common, whereas 10 years ago, such things never occurred. In the case of grizzly bears, these are no longer isolated. As I mentioned a moment ago, hunters in Montana will not go clean an elk or a deer in grizzly bear country unless they have somebody with them, someone to guard their back. There have been far too many instances now of bears mauling individuals while hunters packed out the meat, cleaned up the carcasses. So it's a changing world, and it's also a changing world because we have a lot more grizzly bears and black bears than we ever used to. And something else we have more of is wolves. So the state of Colorado, once again, it just can't seem to get out of its own way. The state of on this subject, the state of Colorado was getting wolves from British Columbia, which do not match what would have been the historic gene pool of wolves in Colorado. But due to relations with Canada and some difficulties they've had with British Columbia in transporting wolves, now the state of Colorado is going to Alaska to try to get wolves to come to Colorado. And that has absolutely set up an incredible controversy in Colorado, where already many people feel wolves in Colorado are having an unnecessary impact on wildlife, because the wolves that were brought in are not native in the gene pool to Colorado. They come from an area where the wolves are bigger, etc. And now they're going to bring wolves in from Alaska. So, or they're going to try to. So this is something that has the attention of a lot of individuals and is stirring up quite a bit of controversy. Wolves in the West, as you know from listening to me and reading from others, have expanded their territory enormously. It is not without controversy. It's absolutely wonderful that now in Yellowstone and other areas of the American West, you can hear the howl of wolf packs, which you couldn't hear for almost 100 years or maybe more. They're back. It's a fantastic success story. On the other hand, as often happens with success stories, there isn't enough of a management plan to think through the consequences of what happens if we're too successful. And in some places in the American West, we have been too successful at reintroducing wolves. And wolves now are causing impacts on species that were not anticipated. And in part, it's because the bloodlines of these wolves are far superior, if you will, in weight and size and predatory ability to those that would have been there naturally. Alaskan wolves were not native to Colorado, and they're coming from a different gene pool, just as is the case for British Columbia. So there'll be more on that, but I'm fearful that, unfortunately, once more, we'll have a lot of lawsuits, which is not a good way to spend conservation money. But what is a good way to spend time in the outdoors in the fall is to get outside with your family. Talked last week about opportunities to do that, and in the Chicago area and around the Midwest, we are blessed with truly incredible fall colors. We're in the peak of the season. So please, I hope you get the chance to go out and just enjoy the beauty of Mother Nature. There, in my view, is no more beautiful time of the year than the fall to be outside. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.